Having proved that seatbelts saved lives, Henderson arrived in Australia in 1968 and settled in Sydney, where the Road Safety Fraternity was searching for an inspirational leader. The New South Wales Department of Motor Transport had recently set up a traffic accident research unit known as TARU, and Henderson was appointed as its first director. At this time, the New South Wales government was considering introducing compulsory seatbelt wearing, and TARU was directed to carry out the research prior to its implementation.
We wanted to know, well, what kind of backlash might there be if we did introduce it? And what we found out was that even among people who never wore a seatbelt, there was no strong opposition to making it compulsory. And in fact, there was a feeling that for people who never wore seatbelts, because of whatever reason, laziness or peer pressure, or a regulation would make them wear a seatbelt, and they realised that was a good thing to do. And so they were happy to accept that regulation, and it eased the pressures on them. And a lot of people did feel pressures not to wear a seatbelt. If a passenger puts a seatbelt on, it's a message to the driver, I don't trust you. And that was something that was quite strong at the time.
Peter Croft is a former manager of road environment safety at the RTA and presently principal research scientist, Safe Systems, with the Australian Road Research Board.
In the early 70s, compulsory seatbelt wearing was coming in. One heard obvious complaints from sectors of the community about loss of freedom, inhibition of their activities if they were vehicle-based workplaces and so on. Sectors of the transport industry like taxis and heavy vehicle drivers seemed to be against it, didn't see the need for them to have it because they were professionals and it didn't matter.
John Knott adds this insightful anecdote.
One of the things that's quite clear from the seatbelt history in Victoria is that the Victorian police themselves, particularly the detective force, did not want to crush their suits by wearing seatbelts in a vehicle. In fact, in some cases, they seem to have taken out their seatbelts, which, when they were fitted the car, you could do.
However, strong community pressures to mandate seatbelt wearing prevailed, especially in Victoria. Ray Taylor, a former general manager of road safety at the RTA, recalls.
There was a key part of the process which was put in place in Victoria and ultimately put in place in every other state, which was the notion of having a parliamentary committee devoted to road safety that could inquire into safety issues on a non-party type basis. The initial committee in Victoria is called the Social Development Committee, and they supported very strongly, for example, the seatbelt legislation. And they supported inquiries into a wide range of initiatives. And out of that have come consistent recommendations for the various authorities to undertake.
The compulsory wearing of seatbelts passed into law in Victoria on the 1st of January 1971. And by the end of that year, every state in Australia had followed suit. The effect on the road toll was soon evident.
There was a huge reduction in vehicle occupant injuries and deaths in the 12 months after the introduction of the law. It was very interesting. There was a wearing rate of about 20% before the law was introduced. The day after the law was passed in Victoria, without any enforcement, that wearing rate went up to about 50%. A lot of people were waiting for an excuse to be forced to wear the belt. Getting up to 90-95% took quite a few years of publicity and rigorous enforcement.
Dr. Soames Job is the director of the Centre for Road Safety at the New South Wales Roads and Traffic Authority.
Seatbelts are a really good example of the success of enforcement. So prior to introducing compulsory seatbelt wearing in New South Wales, we had many advertising campaigns telling people seatbelts would improve their safety, save them in a crash, etc. But the seatbelt wearing rate remained very low. We introduced compulsory seatbelt wearing, which essentially was an enforcement threat. It says, if you don't wear your seatbelt, we'll fine you $50. Suddenly, the seatbelt wearing rate went to way over 90%. And so because of the enforcement, we went from a small number of people wearing their seatbelts to over 90%. The effect of enforcement on behaviour is very powerful.